Definitely do my best tonight. Spent the last couple days spend as much time as I can in prayer and trying to seek the face of God. I wouldn't bring anything that wasn't from Him. It's something that I didn't figure He'd have me bring. It seemed a little bit too much for me, but that's what He's here for. I'm going to open in prayer if you'd all bow your heads for me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for all You've done. I've sought Your face throughout the day and yesterday, trying to make sure that this would be what You'd have me bring. I ask You'd quicken my mind and slow my tongue, that nothing that is my thought would make it out, but only whatever You would have me to say. I ask You to strengthen my heart, that I don't cry and end up having to take too much time just standing here getting it together. And then I ask, Lord, You'd open the hearts of the ones listening, that they'd not hear me and think, well, that's just his thoughts, be able to feel that it's from You. And I thank You for all You've done. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the thought that come to me about a week and a half ago was just one word, wisdom. And I thought, well, how do I portray that? And there's so many ways you can take wisdom. And I prayed about it, couldn't seem to get anything. And then Sunday night came, and we sang a song, and another one popped in my head, and I went looking through the evening light, and a song I'd never heard stuck out to me. Just the title is Wisdom Crieth in the Street. And I asked a few people around, seeing if I could find anybody that knew it, and got reading the verses and the chorus, and I'm like, well, that's a good song, but not really seem to be sticking out as something that God would have me bring to you guys. But it's based off of a verse that I had read the same week that I got this thought, and I got to reading it a little deeper and praying a little harder at it, and I think He just used the title of that song to draw me back to this verse, this section of Scripture. So I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Proverbs, the first chapter, starting in the 20th verse. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set it not, O my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity, and I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They were none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Now I probably read that, and you're all like, I shouldn't have come tonight. He's going to get on me and say I ain't living right. But that's not what I'm here to do. If you're a sinner, it'll probably hit like that. But for you that are saved, I trust it'll be a challenge for you to step up and take another step. I know it was for me. I hope it comes a bit softer to you guys. To me in the study, it was, Nate, you've done this, you need to step up. And Nate, you've done that, you need to step up. But here in the front, in this first section of verse, I like to read everything before to kind of put it in your minds, but then break it down section upon section. And the first little bit there in the 21st verse says, she crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, and in the city she uttereth her words. And the thought that come to me, most of us in here, if not all of us, have grown up in the church. And we've heard from the times we were just young the truth. We've been instructed. We've got good youth leaders. We've got faithful older youth that have taught. We've got Brother Decker and the rest of the ministry out there. And we've heard these things from the time we were just little guys and gals. And the thing that got me is, the thing that hit me first was, I got saved when I was 14 as a revival. Brother McCraney held it. Don't remember anything he said in that that message. I come into the service and God got on me and I said, at the end of this I'm going down, and didn't really hear a word he said. But when the altar call come, I went down and got saved, and I got thinking, I've been saved almost 4 years now, and I don't got a lot to show for it. I ain't taking a lot of steps. I ain't in a place I feel I ought to be for being at it for 4 years. Paul said he had deeper things he wanted to teach the people. And they'd been around long enough, they ought to be teaching, but they were still drinking milk. They hadn't kept what he said and stepped up and applied it to their lives. And that's how I felt when I got to reading. But we know these scriptures, and I'm sure I say that in a lot of you. Some of you will be honest and say, yeah, that's me too. And others will say, well, I've stepped up a lot. And some have. But I think a lot of us mistake our ability to read off scripture and be able to remember things we've read and quote it and give the shallow, just the very basic meaning of these words, and think that means we've taken some big step. But I got thinking, there's a verse that stood out a few times. John 11:35. Everybody probably knows it's the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. And most people, if you ask them, they'll say, well, yeah, I can explain that to you. It's Jesus was walking into Jerusalem, or riding rather, and he wept because of the condition that they were in. And you'd be correct. But there's a deeper knowledge there, a deeper truth and wisdom that you could find out of it. The thing that I heard preached, and as you read it, God wept, or Jesus wept, because he had come to save them. He'd been teaching them for 3 years at this point. He was coming up upon the time that he was going to be crucified. And they still rejected him. They weren't listening and serving as they ought. But he wept because he had come to be their Savior. God was right there among them, standing next to him, just as much as I am you. But they didn't discern that it was God. Not they couldn't, they didn't. They had all the teachings, they had all the knowledge they needed to be able to recognize that this was their God coming to save them. But they refused. And they refused because his teachings were strange to them. They didn't understand. They'd never heard these things. They're like, oh, that ain't right. This ain't how we've learned it. And they refused to let go of the old things they'd heard. And I got thinking, that's kind of how we are today. We've been in service for 3 days now. Heard four or five, some of us, if you've been in the teaching service, six or seven messages already. And that ain't even counting youth. But we walk out, and you may realize he's here now during the service. But the second the brother said amen last night, everybody turned to the person next to him. You want to go eat? Go play volleyball? Everything Brother Rain said left their mind. Maybe they thought about it later when they got home. I doubt it. Asked a brother today if he'd read his Bible, and he said, no, I ain't had time. And I said, well, what'd you do all day? He said, well, I worked, and then I played volleyball, and then I did this. And I said, I got something about that right in here about playing volleyball. I said, I'm going to say it, but I'm not picking on you. I was already thinking that. But I don't know. I'm assuming the rest of you did it. I saw a lot of people go you want to eat. And I heard him say that, and I know that's what I did. Turned, well, let's go eat. Or I want to go talk to that brother. I want to go talk to that sister. And Brother Rain's message last night was on seeing and seeking the church of God. And there's a lot more you could get than what he preached. He preached a lot, but if we would have taken the time to go home or go to our dorm and sit down and say, God, I want to see the church of God. None of us can see the church of God in its full light. If you could, you probably wouldn't be here. God say, come on home, you know everything you need. There's always more for us to learn, more truth to be had. But it's a question of, are you going to listen? Are you going to take the time to search for it? It says here that fools despise knowledge. And in the end, down here at the 31st verse, says, therefore they shall eat of their own fruit, of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. And we look at that, and a lot of us are probably thinking some great sin, what they're getting into. But in that time, what they were really getting into is just the things of this world, things that we do every day. Maybe you get home from work and you sit down, you watch a movie the rest of the night. Come the end of the night, oh, I was going to pray, I was going to read, but now I'm so tired I can't. And you've done wasted your opportunity to get some knowledge, to get some wisdom. Had somebody a while back, a sister asked for some prayer. She'd been struggling, and I asked her if she'd been reading and praying. Answer's yes. And, well, I said, well, does God have time to answer your prayers? Does he have time to, whatever you've read, does he have time to evaluate and reveal what the deeper meanings of that is? And she said, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, we spend a lot of time, and I mentioned TV and some talking to your friends and that, of taking up your time away from God, even, but there are good things that can too. We're all brothers and sisters. I believe most of, not all of us are saved, and the fellowship's a good thing. But too much fellowship doesn't help anybody. If I spend all my time talking to Brian, don't got any time to read, don't got any time to pray. If I get in my truck and that little bit of quiet time I have in the morning and on the way home from work and just turn on some songs, maybe it's Collingsworth family, maybe it's even a message, it's Christian songs and a gospel message. But I take all of that free time, and yeah, maybe I'm hearing good things, but if you're hearing all these good things but God don't have any time to add to them and add his spirit to them, don't help nothing. I said, well, try not listening to music and just praying, seeking God's face. If you're too busy to do it any other time, do it then. We hear a lot about prayer and Bible reading, but we don't hear a lot about meditation. A lot of people say meditation, you think of some dude doing yoga in the mountains. But meditation's a very powerful tool, just right there alongside, yeah, Bible reading and praying. Matter of fact, you can pray as much as you want. I could stand here all day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, saying, God, help me with this, help me with that, give me knowledge here, give me wisdom here. But if I don't give him any time to just let me shut up and him say, this is what you need to do, you'd never get any help. I should have made my notes a little better. I just got one big long paragraph. I should have put some bullet points in there. That way I could figure out where I'm at. But I think I'm going to go ahead and go to my next little section of Scripture. It's chapter 2. You don't have to flip very far. Now I figured I'd come in and I'd kind of tell us where we're lacking a little bit, and that's in the true desire and to get wisdom. Said it talks about people in that last chapter about ignoring, right there when it says I, keep saying I through that little section there. It ain't saying Solomon who wrote it or Jesus or God, it's wisdom. Wisdom is personified through that chapter. It's saying wisdom will laugh at your calamity. But wisdom in that chapter seems to be upset because people are just, they're hearing it. We hear it every night, this week at least, and if you're reading, you hear it every night outside of camp meeting. But you hear wisdom through your word right here, assuming most of you have one, and through the voice of Brother Raines out there bringing what God gave him. And if we just listen to that, it's good to hear, and you can get a lot out of it. But if you don't spend the one-on-one time really seeking and praying for wisdom, for God's knowledge, you'll never get anything. But on to this next chapter. I'm going to start in chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with me, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. This section here, the last chapter, kind of says, well, you've hid from wisdom. But this one, it tells you what you need to do to get wisdom. It says right here, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. These little wimpy prayers, I've done them a long time. I said I've been saved 4 years, and I ain't got a whole lot to show for it. But these little wimpy prayers, well, oh Lord, thank you for all you've done. Thank you for the good day. Thank you for the food. Help all the sick people and give me wisdom. That don't sound like the prayer that they mention here in this verse. It says, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Sounds to me like somebody had an earnest burden and really was searching.
Right.
You come up to your mom and say, well, I don't feel good. She's probably going to say, go lie down. But if you come up just to crying and bawling and, I don't feel good. My stomach hurts. I feel like somebody just hit me with a ball bat. She might say, well, do you want to pray? Do you want to go to the hospital? What do you want to do? God's the same way. You come up to him all just, well, whatever. God, give me wisdom. He's going to say, I'm not sure you really want wisdom. Not sure you can handle it. But if you come at him with a spirit of earnestness and true desire for wisdom, he'll give it to you. The Bible says he wouldn't hold any good thing from you. And there's few things better than wisdom. Probably the only one I can think of is salvation. And the only way you're going to keep salvation is with wisdom. Need to start looking at my notes more instead of just talking. I'm saying things in here, but it's all jumbled. Now I'm all backwards. Spoke earlier about when the brother got done praying, said amen to dismiss the service, and everybody immediately their mind flipped to what's up next, eating, volleyball, this and that. I meant to tell a story. A while back, probably I guess December camp meeting, I had a burden during the service. Didn't know what it was for, just God was laying on my heart real heavy. And after service, I sat there stone-faced throughout the service. Don't even know if I stood up when they sang. Had some people wondering if I was mad at somebody. And afterward, I went and I prayed, and I asked my dad for some counsel. And he recommended praying some more until I got to the bottom of it. He said, you may even find he's just trying to see what you're going to do. Are you going to ignore it and just, well, I don't know what it is, so I'll just let it be? Or are you going to pray till you get to the bottom of it? And I went and prayed, and come, I was walking somewhere thinking and praying, and somebody come up wanting to play a game or whatever, and I went with them. I went and played a game. Never did figure out what that burden was for. Couldn't sleep that night. Got up 2-3 in the morning, went for a walk, staying in the dorms. I think I walked 2 or 3 laps around that cornfield down there, 3 in the morning. Never did figure out what it was for. Spent all them 3 hours praying, trying to make sure I was still right with God and that he hadn't turned his back because I didn't listen and pray as I ought to. But you may find that after one of these services that God lays a burden on you to dig a little deeper into what the minister preached upon. And I think I could have been a lot farther along this road if I would have prayed and ignored the games that everybody wanted to play and just prayed till I figured out what it was. You might have had something great for me. But I chose to go off and fellowship. And you may find he does something like that for you. You get to the end of a service and you go down to the altar, but you still don't feel that he's done with you. Don't brush that off. Right, somebody comes and they want to go play volleyball, they want to go eat, they want to do this, don't brush that off. I've done it from experience. I'm telling you, it's a bad idea. You'll set yourself back more than you ever thought possible. God's looking for people who are going to think soberly. Tonight, he's not looking for people who want to joke around and have fun all the time. There's times for that. But he's looking for people that are going to think soberly and upon hearing the gospel, get in their own book and dig deep. He don't want people that can just read and get shallow meetings. He needs, in this day, we need people. He needs people that can look at these words and read them and pray and get the deeper knowledges. Something that you can take to the world, something that they really may not understand, but the spirit that comes from you that you'll get by having this knowledge and this wisdom that you can take to the world, and they'll feel that. They may not understand a word you're saying, but they'll feel that. Something I struggle with a lot is I read and pray and this and that and go to school, and it seems like nobody notices. You get one or two that are, they realize, and they'll catch themselves cussing, "Oh, sorry, I know you don't do that. I try not to do that around you." But I want to have a bigger effect on people. I want it to be felt that God is in me. Used to be back in these days in this Bible here, Jesus would save people and they'd go down the road and save others, perform miracles that we couldn't even dream of. Says there were people back then weren't even saved performing miracles we can't do now. And the only thing that's keeping us from that is this wisdom here, the lack of it. Which is a scary thought, because it says here, after that fourth verse, if you seekest her as a silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. Which puts the thought, it pretty much says there, if you don't have wisdom, if you're not seeking it as you ought, you don't fear the Lord properly. Which is a scary thought. Don't fear the Lord, right? He could be telling you right now, come to this altar. Even under these words that I'm spinning in circles, he could tell you right now, come to this altar. But because you don't have the fear of the Lord, or not as much as you ought, you ignore it. Well, that'd be weird. And in front of all these people coming down to this altar, I don't think I've ever seen anybody go down there. And then when I got another section here that I'm going to read here in a minute, but it says, I'm stumbling all over. If thou wilt receive my words and hide the commandments with thee, that first verse of the second chapter, I'm kind of jumping all over. Hope God can connect these thoughts in your mind, because I feel like I'm throwing them all over the place. But when the messages come forth out there, when you're reading or maybe talking to another brother about the Lord, we really need to receive it and put it in your heart. You can, we'll listen to these words, Brother Raines or Brother Miller, Brother Harding, and Brother Decker in the last week, last 2 days. And yeah, we received them. We thought about it, maybe even went to the altar. But then the moment that service ended, left, forgot about it, because it was in our mind. It says, hide the commandments within thee, and later it says, to put them in your heart. You try to keep things in your mind, it don't work. You got to take them to heart, and you'll never forget them. Yeah. Oh. And then, when you get this wisdom, when you get this knowledge, and I told you, you gotta cryest after knowledge and lift up thy voice with a true earnest burden. But once you have it, you'll find it's a lot easier to understand the words in this book. You'll find yourself after the minister gets done, you won't just go on to the next thing. It'll be, that's what's in your mind. That's what you go talk to your brother about. And that's when you go home, or when you get a chance, maybe even you don't even go eat. You just go straight into your Bible. Maybe sit out here, go to your dorm, go to your camper. But you'll find yourself with a new spark. We talked about the three Hebrew boys in the fire in one of the services, and how that fire would be a shield to keep you from everything out there, and would be something to fuel you to those who are saved. And these services ought to spark something in you, if you're saved, to make you want to learn more. Not to just, well, I'm just passing the time. I'm listening to the message. Yeah, I think it's a good message. I'll go pray when I'm done, because God said something to me. But then when I'm done, I'm going to go have fun with everybody else. I'm also repeating myself, but something we need to get. And you'll find yourself not just going on to volleyball or just eating or talking about how are you or what did you do last week, how's the job going, but you'll want to talk about God. And not just to your brothers, you'll find it a lot easier to witness to those in the world, because that's what's in your heart. It's an old children's song we used to sing. I don't know if they still sing it, but where your treasure is, there will your heart be. If your treasure's here in this book and with God, that's where your heart's going to be. People go out, and it's amazing how sports players can find each other and talk about all these different sports. He said, if you you put this in your heart, it'll be what you want to talk about. People got football in their heart, and the second they see somebody, hey, did you see this? Did you see that? But if this is in your heart, you'll go up to people and say, have you heard about this? You know what my God did for me today? I woke up feeling horrible, prayed a little, and now I feel good. Find out there, he said, there'll be a lot more shouting. When the truth comes forth, it ought to be a loud thing. It ain't something you ought to be able to sleep through if you're a Christian, even as tired as you ought to be. You guys have seen me. I doze off a lot. But I hope after this message, and I don't just hope, I know it will be, because God's word ain't lied to me yet. But when I start, and not start, I've done it already, but when I keep at this and cry for more wisdom and look for more understanding, I trust I won't be dozing off so much. I'll have a little bit more desire to hear. Even if it's not a minister that's all jumpy and loud, something I still would want to hear. Won't I hear a lot of people say, well, the minister, he's monotone, he's not real exciting. But if God's in your heart and God's in the minister, that ought to be something you sit up straight and listen to. And not just that, even back in the old days, some of these reformations, he said, those guys, you ever read their books, you want to hear something that we would call boring. They stood there for 4 hours sometimes and just robot. They didn't have a lot of excitement. Some of that stuff they thought was sinful, getting too jumpy and too, look at me, I'm jumping around. But we don't have those fears today. We can get up there. I can go up there and dance, so long as it's to God, and I'll be just at home. Be kind of a funny thing. We'd probably all kind of laugh. I remember Brother Gordon jumping around.
Right.
But he had something in his heart. He had God in his heart, and it was exciting to hear. The girls played this morning, "How Great Thou Art." That's a beautiful song. And Brother Reggie, he got right up there, and he was excited. He was loud. That's how we ought to be. This is in our heart, that "How Great Thou Art," that won't just be words or music we're hearing, but that'll be the truth, the testimony we've lived. Everyone that's saved, that's all the "How Great Thou Art" you need to know to be jumping around. And it's something I got to work at too. I've been trying to get more vocal when I hear something that I agree with, something that stirs me. Say amen. Even if you... If he says something that hits you and you realize, yeah, I need to start doing that, even if you haven't been doing it, say amen if you're going to do it.
Right.
You don't need to wait until after the service when you've gone down and apologized to God and said, I need to step up here, right there and then. I work on a farm. We put fence posts in. Them things are heavy. I'll pick up three at a time. I'll put them things up. My boss would say, put one here, put one here, and put one here. Well, I wouldn't walk to the end and put them all three down and then drag them back. Wherever he said put them, drop them. All these burdens we carry, all these heavy things we carry, something new that we're being taught that we don't have to hold on to, drop it right there in your seat. You don't got to wait till the end of the service to walk down there and leave it all there. As long as you don't pick it up, don't matter where you left it. The altar's just a convenient place to do it. And that's not to say that you don't need to go down because you dropped it in your seat. If he said go down, go down. But you don't have to wait until after service to drop those things. You can drop them in your seat and still go down and say, I'm sorry. Amen. I'm going to do better. And then my next section that I'm going to read is the rest of Proverbs 2, starting in the 10th verse. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of evil man, of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. And froward, just another old word for perverse. Where did I go? There it is. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their past, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. Once you've obtained this wisdom, you've done your searching and your crying, and you've obtained it. It says here in all these verses that it shall keep you from just about everything you can think of that's wicked. Every evil man, the thing that speaketh perverse things, woman that forgetteth her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. This wisdom and knowledge, we see a lot of people struggling for months and months and months and months. Seems like some of them been at it for years with the same thing. The choir sang the other day, victorious, victorious people. God never intended for us to carry the same burden for year after year after year. He's got victory for everything.
Right.
There are some that it's not just going to be a quick, God, take this from me, and you have the right faith, and he does it. There will be some things that take some time. But I thought of Legion when I was studying. Legion had 5,000 demons within him. And all it took was Jesus, a few words of prayer, and gone. Any of you have 5,000 demons? Any problem that would make you lose your mind, take off your clothes, and run up the hill and run around saying weird things? I don't think any of us have any mental illnesses that have us do that. And those of us that do have some, he can take that away from you too. And this wisdom is the easiest way to get to it. The more you know of God, the easier it is to trust in him. And then at the end, it's kind of a warning. It's a consolation for those of us who are saved, for the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it. We have a hope. We'll make it to heaven. But it's kind of a warning here. The 19th, none that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. If you don't take hold of this wisdom, this knowledge, it's just a matter of time. You will fall. It's not an if, it is a when. You can't stay on milk and end up being all right. Your only hope there is God will take you before you fall. But you've got to keep coming. You've got to keep coming after this and getting more wisdom and more knowledge. And if you don't, like I said, you will fall. And this verse says, none that go unto her return again. You die in that condition. You'll have no second try. And it says, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth. There'll be no hope after that. I hope for all of you it was a challenge, but to one of you that's any of you that is unsaved, I hope you either come here or pray in your seat or whatever you need to do to seek for that wisdom and serve God. And that's all I got.
Amen.